children matter. Amen. And those of you in the sanctuary, you want to turn to Acts the 27th chapter. Acts chapter 27. And I'm going to read verse 29 from that. Amen. Boy, I sure appreciate God's church, His people. Amen. Thank you for your prayers. Acts the 27th chapter. Anybody know who's the writer of Acts? Writer of Acts. Right? It's Luke. Remember, Luke starts off in the Gospel of Luke, and then in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, a former treatise or writings have I made, O Theophilus. And in Luke, he talks about Theophilus, lover of God. And the book of Acts has no formal ending. Most of the other books have a formal ending. The book of Acts doesn't. And Acts is simply shortened for the actions of the church. All the way from the book of Acts, there's a lot of packed actions all through it. And we're going to get to 27 and 29. The scripture says here in Acts 27, 29, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern, out of the back of the boat, and wished for the day. They cast four anchors. When the storm had fallen, they wished for the day. Have you ever been in a storm that you wish for the day? You wish for the sun to come out? You wish for the glory of God just to brighten everything up? How many's ever been in a storm or a trial and it seemed to be long going and you thought, when is this going to end? They wished for the day. They threw out four drag anchors out of the back of that boat, out of the stern, and they wished for the day. There's been a lot of times I've been places that I wished and I longed for, amen, the ending of the trial. Amen. I want to encourage you today, and I want to talk to us about four anchors. But before we do, I want you to pray with me. Lord Jesus, have your way today in our hearts and our souls. We thank you, God, for your grace and power. We thank you for your love, Lord Jesus, and what you're going to do today in our hearts. Grant your spirit, grant your help, and we love you and we bless you, Jesus. Thank you for victory in your name. Everybody say amen. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Wish for that day. And I want you to think about the storm was so dark, so bad in this. And I'll go to the settings in just a moment. We'll go through and let you know what's happening in this chapter. But there's been times that I thought, God, when is it going to end? You know, things don't come by themselves. You will never battle a trial or a problem or situation just one at a time. Somehow or another, they come wave after wave after wave after wave after wave after wave. How many's ever had it happen? Your dishwasher goes out, your refrigerator go out. Your blinker will go out, something else will go out in your car. You have a flat, and it seems like series of events happen. Y'all know what I'm telling the truth today. Hallelujah. Amen. It seems that in this battle of life, sometimes it's a dark, long storm. And we ask, how long is this going to be? There's a scripture in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, it says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. I want you to say this. Had it not been for the anchor of the soul, we would be drifting, washed up. But the goodness of God keeps working on our behalf. Amen. Praise God. Now, let me go to the settings of this scripture today. The Apostle Paul, because he was converted, Paul was a master scholar of the Jewish law. Paul had a great education. Paul had all these things for him. And he heard about people that preached that Jesus was the Messiah. And as a result, Paul got upset, just like a bunch of other people. They didn't want to change. They enjoyed their skyrocketing and sliding and easygoing religion. So he tried to snuff it out. He tried all his means to start stopping this and harassing people that believed in Jesus. They didn't want these miracles. They didn't want these things happening. After a while, they begin to talk about the apostles as foolish and unlearned men. And they thought Jesus was just one that's trying to make an insurrection. They crucified Jesus. But after they crucified Jesus, there were those that were filled with the Holy Ghost that just kept on doing the work. Greater works than these, amen, shall you do. And God empowered them. The Holy Ghost came and they started doing works. And the more these religious people try to stomp the fire out, the more the sparks begin to fly and it begin to spread. And there was this hot-headed individual that even held the coats of those that stoned Stephen. He held the coats and they stoned Stephen to death, a saint of God. I mean, they piled up the stones on him. This man's name was Saul. Saul was such a man that stood up for what he believed. He started getting warrants for anybody that preached about this Jesus. And on the road to Damascus, headed to arrest some people, a light from heaven shone and knocked him off his high horse. Well, I love the way God does things, don't you? It blinded him to where he had to say mercy. Boy, you ever been in a match where you ever played mercy, some of you men? I know you girls don't do that, but when we was boys, we would play that. Somebody would pin us down, and we would have to say mercy. You know how much pride there is in a man that is strong? When a smaller gentleman begins to pin you down, and you have to say mercy. Well, Paul, he thought he was mighty big and bad, but there was a great invisible force, even that pinned him down on the road to Damascus, that he had to say, mercy, who art thou, Lord? The Lord answered, I am Jesus. I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. And then the Bible says, God don't always just point his finger and condemns you and writes you off. God will give you a way out. Are you thankful for the message of salvation? He said, send men. He said, you go to the, Ananias. Ananias is going to tell you what you need to do. He sent him to the right place. When he went to the right place, Ananias began to talk to him. And Paul was filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, according to Acts 22. Well, time goes on. Saul became Paul. Paul became a great man of God, a great ambassador for the things of God. And the same thing that he used to persecute the Christians for, now he's being persecuted. They begin to try to, the Jewish theological movement, begin to try to trap him and say, you're trying to revolt against the government. And as a result, they beat him. They put the hurt on him and would have killed him and executed him till they found out that he was a Roman citizen. This man had citizenship in Rome. Uh-oh, they were in trouble then. But you know what? Somebody put their heads together and said, we're in bad trouble. We better get our way out of this. And somebody come with a brilliant idea. They thought it was their idea. I want to just tell you the way God works. God has a way of putting all the pieces together. Somebody said, you know, let's just say that he's making an insurrection against Rome. He's not just, he's trying to become, coming against the government of Rome. Not just our religion. So, as a Roman citizen, he had to go before the Roman courts. And then, here they are all the way up in this area of Jerusalem, Judea, and that area. He had to be shipped all the way to Rome. The transportation in those days was not a train or plane. You had to be aboard a ship to get to Rome. And we find in Acts 27, this is where it takes place. He had been charged by his counterparts as an insurrectionist, violating the common laws. And so now he has the opportunity to go stand before Caesar. But I'm going to tell you, just like the world wants to stomp out the fire, God has a way that God will put people in the right place to spread this gospel. Everywhere that Paul would go, even later on when he finally gets to Rome, history will tell you he had guards in the prison where he was at. But they had to change the guards every so often because he was converting them. I'm telling you, I'm thankful for the fire of the Holy Ghost. I have a God that is able to change people. This thing Paul said was not done in a corner. This is something alive. I'm thankful for the power of the Holy Ghost, aren't you? You ought to give the Lord a hand for his grace and power this morning. Amen. So, Paul is en route to Rome to stand before Caesar in a hearing. You see, the Roman government believed, like our government, you were not guilty or you were innocent till proven guilty. It's a good deal. So he was headed, being transferred, even though he was already beaten, humiliated, and lied against. So here he was, and when they were looking for a ship to get from point A to Rome, Paul felt it was the wrong type of season. It was autumn. It's supposed to be winter time. Paul felt the Lord warn him and say, you know, this is going to be a disaster. The ship and the cargo is going to be destroyed. He even told the centurion. A centurion was a man that was a soldier over a group of men that was a guard and a ranking individual that was responsible for a group of soldiers. The centurion that was responsible for the transport of this prisoner, Paul. Paul says, hey, you don't need to go. We don't need to go. It's not the right time of the year. There's going to be storms. And if we do, he said, let me tell you, it's going to be a disaster for the ship and a disaster for the cargo. Well, you know, the centurion, the Bible says, believe the ship owner, the professional. But I want you to remember, the ship owner was a proprietor. He was a merchant man. And when you start believing the professional, even when they say, okay, you will make it to the other port, amen, instead of the prophetic. We need to listen to the prophet, the word of God, not just the professional. Are you thankful that when you go to the doctor, the doctor says no, but God says yes? When the word of God says this, I'm going to follow the word of God. I don't care what the banker says. I don't care what the lawyer says. I don't care what the doctor says. I care what the word of God says. In fact, the grass will wither. The flower will fade. But the word of God shall stand forever. Paul just basically said, you got trouble if we go. They took the wrong advice and took off anyway. And it was just a little while after they got aboard the ship that they found themselves in a fierce storm. It don't take long when you do your own thing and get away from the plan of God for consequences to happen. The Bible says the pleasures of sin are just what? For a season. They're seasonal. It don't take long for those pleasures to wear out and to fade away. I mean, he's found that to be true. And, you know, this was not predicted by the professionals, but God had already spoken. And they found themselves in a storm like an uncontrollable cork in a rapid sea, tossed to and fro. All the different things are happening down aboard this ship. They're rocking and rolling in the midst. I'm not talking about just a rainstorm. And I'm not talking about a windstorm. I'm talking about a fierce storm. One of such a caliber that all the tricks of the sailing trade wouldn't work. The Bible says they tried. The mariners, experienced sailors, did what they thought they knew what to do in a storm. But even in their tricks of the trade, it did not work. I want to tell you what always works is obedience. Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. Boy, I'm telling you. Amen. If we just learn to obey. Amen. We learn to do what the Word of God says. We do what the man of God says. We'll save ourselves a lot of trouble. But some people just will not obey. Amen. We don't need to be hard-hearted and hard-headed. If the Word of God says it, do it. Amen. It's easier to be a doer of the Word than a rejecter of the Word. So here they are. Amen. In a futile situation, a ferocious storm. They didn't know what to do next. They were out in it. Then the scripture that we just read says they threw out four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Amen. Sometimes you're not going to get your wish. Sometimes God says you ask for it, you got it. You're going to go through it. Amen. Sometimes when you make your bed, you're going to have to lay in it. There are consequences to disobedience. Somebody say amen. Amen. The second day in their journey, high seas were constantly pounding the ship. Second day, I'm telling you, the second day of this journey, all of a sudden they're throwing their cargo aboard. I want you to think about this ship. The only way ships made money in that day was for them to transport goods from one place to the next. In order to float the boat, so to speak, financially, you better have some goods to take, amen, and sail at the next port. Now, all their cargo, all their goods, whether they had salt, whether they had gold, whatever their stuff was, they had to throw it overboard. Just the second day, they're throwing everything overboard. Their profits. Now, the trip was going to be a profitless journey. Better listen to the prophet. You better listen to the man of God. You better listen to the Word of God, or your life will be profitless. Hear me. The third day, they lightened the ship by they started throwing the tackle and the provisions overboard. The tackle and the provisions, I studied that. That meant the riggings. Any type of crane that they had for lifting the heavy stuff. Everything that was needless, weights, they had to throw overboard. That kind of sounds like the word of the Lord. Lay aside every weight. And there's a lot of needless things we need to get rid of in life. Here they are, they're getting rid of everything, every heavy thing. You know, it's pretty bad that some people, it takes a big storm for them to finally get rid of some things in their life. They finally start making some things lighter in their soul. Amen. Third day, this is happening. They're emptying the ship. Water's coming in the ship. The ship is not floating. The storm is beating. And I want you to just think, amen, that even today, even with the best of technology aboard our ships, storms still happen. And I seen a picture of a ship in a storm, one of our Navy vessels, that is made for the sea. But the wave of water, this was a huge ship, was so great, it was five times higher than the ship. And that ship is there. And it would float up. And when it would come down, it would be like every person aboard that ship would be on a tremendous roller coaster. My father-in-law was in the Navy. When they would sleep in their bunk, they had to sleep with one leg crossed in the figure four to keep them from rolling out. Many would tie themselves to the cot to keep them from falling on the floor. But even with technology today, they still have to go through the storm. The Bible says now, this ship is in the middle of the storm, and it's bad, and it's ferocious, and pretty soon it came to where they hadn't seen the sun or the star for days. Back in those days, they navigate. The navigational system was the stars and the sun. Now they're in such a dark storm that nothing is available. Nothing is available. They didn't have any ability to navigate. They're just trying to keep the ship afloat. They're just trying to keep the thing going. They're just tossed like a piece of paper in a current, in a stream, wherever it takes us now. They had no ability to know where they're at and no ability to know where they're going. I'm telling you, when God gets a hold of people, you think you're in control, but God's going to say, I am still in control. Amen. They didn't know what to do. The ship's massive beams begin to croak. And take it literally, croak. It started breaking, groaning, cracking under pressure. The Bible says they started undergirding the ship. That means they started binding the ship together with cables and ropes, trying to hold things together. And let me just say, man-made things will not work against the Word of God. I don't care how you manufacture it. In the garden, the Bible says Adam and Eve tried to take fig leaves and cover their nakedness. I want to tell you, man-made, manufactured things will never save you. It still takes the operation of God, doesn't it? Amen. They tried to put it together, hold it together. All the super glue, baling wire, and duct tape can't hold you together when you're going the wrong direction in rebellion. You hear me? Amen. Even the finest of the prodigal son, who had a lot of money, but amen, when it was all said and done, he was broke and messed up. Amen. And the only way to get where he needed to be was to get back where he was. Amen. And I've seen a lot of people get out there in the storm of life, and they think they got it made. I got it together. I'm smart enough. I'm rich enough. And I'm going to tell you, it only takes one time. Amen. For God to wipe everything out in your life. The ship was doomed. And Paul stood in the middle of the ship and said, y'all should listen to me. I told you so, in essence. He said, I told you you should listen. And then he said, but this ship is doomed. The ship that is under your feet is doomed. Boy, when the man of God speaks, I imagine the first time that centurion and the soldiers and those aboard that ship, they didn't care what he said. I imagine they were listening now. It's pretty bad when God finally gets you to the place where you finally start listening. Amen. What would it take for you to finally tune in? What does God have to do to get you to that place out of your hard-headed self? I'm telling you, we all battle that, don't we? And we're not just pointing a finger at one. We're looking at the circumstances of life where sometimes we're a little headstrong and we think we can do it our way when God says, hey, you think you're doing it the right. I told you to go this way. We try to make a shortcut when God says, but I need you to go through the valley. Come on. Praise God. We must need go through Samaria. And the disciples said, Lord, why in the world do you want to go through Samaria? Well, there's a purpose. And many times God's word has a purpose. Now, Paul said, this ship is going to be doomed. This ship is in trouble. But last night, an angel of God stood by my side and told me I was going to stand before Caesar. And everyone sailing aboard this ship is going to make it. Not one of you are going to drown. Be of good cheer. God told me this, and it's going to be so. I want to tell you, folks, there are storm-stopping angels. There are fire-stopping angels. There's earthquake-stopping angels. But there's nothing like a standby angel. When you got an angel that would stand by your side, and God will keep you, and God will guide you, and God will assure you you're still on the right course.
Amen. Everybody else may be having a bad day and you may be with them in the same boat. But I'm going to tell you, God, if you just let God, God will give you the orders. Amen. Hey, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you. Three went in the fiery furnace. Three come out. And somebody said, where did that fourth man go? And the song says he's still in the fire. Are you thankful that the God that you serve is a God that will walk with you in the fiery furnace? Amen. God would be there. Amen. The king said, did not we throw three in? Behold, I see a fourth man. I want to tell you, I'm glad I have a God that will stand with me. Amen. The 14th night adrift on the Adriatic Sea. This is ironic. Amen. The Adriatic Sea is between Rome and Croatia. I have a brother that lives in Croatia, and he lives on the Adriatic Sea, still today. Somewhere on that 14th night, what do you think about 14 nights of storm? No daylight, no stars, just drifting. The sailors sensed that they were starting to approach land. They've gotten rid of all their stuff, all their load, all their cargo, everything there. And here's this Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, says, this ship is going to be destroyed and doomed. But God's going to save every one of us. And he even says, you stay with the ship, you're going to be saved. Amen. They measured and they found out they were headed for shallow ground. Some of the sailors that knew the sea and knew this, they realized very quickly the shallow ground was coming very fast, and if they didn't get out of the boat, the shallow ground, the rocks and the reefs were going to destroy that old boat that was already wounded. So they got a lifeboat, and they started to make it. They used the guys. You know, we're going to set some anchors out for the ship. But Paul seen through their guys and their trickery, and he told the centurion and the soldiers that were with him, these men are not doing that. They're trying to deceive everybody. And the soldiers, the Bible says, they cut the ropes and let the lifeboat fall into the ocean. Now, Mr. Sailors, you have no choice now but to stay in the boat. All your hope is in just the voice of God. All your hope is just in what the Word of God says through the man of God. How many's ever been there? Only thing you had was a promise. All you had was a promise of God. You didn't have any evidence. You had no anything. All you had was just the voice and the Word of God. I want to tell you, the Word of God is an anchor, folks, that will keep you in the most severest storm of life. I want to keep the anchor aboard my life. How about you? Amen. So they cut the ropes of the lifeboat, let it fall over. And Paul said, that 14th day, he said, listen, we've been 14 days without sun, without stars, in the darkness of a most ferocious storm. 14 days of, the power of nature coming against us. I want you to say this, the power of rebellion and the proof that God is still in control. And he said, I'll tell you what we do. He said, let's get the food out. We're going to have a picnic in the midst of the storm. He said, you need to eat for your health, because pretty soon this ship is not going to be there to hold you up. And you're going to need some strength in your bodies. The Bible says they ate that morning, and then they took the wheat and they threw it overboard. And at daybreak, the Bible says the ship ran a breach and hit a reef, and the ship exploded into pieces. Many made it ashore to the shoreline by grabbing a plank and hanging on to boards and planks. I don't know about you, but sometimes you'll make it. You'll make it to safe ground if you get a plank and a prayer. Amen. How many's ever been there? All you had was just a plank and a prayer. All you had, amen, was just a little bit. Amen. But little is much when you obey God. Amen. And God has a word for your life. Amen. Hallelujah. This is what they said. Amen. The scripture says they wished for the day But when that day came for them, all they had was a broken piece. Amen. And a prayer, God, you said you were going to help me. I don't know about you, but there's times just a little thread of hope, just a little bit of what God says. When you apply it and hang on to the thread of hope, God will help you through. Amen. Somebody ought to lift your hands. You've been there. Amen. You ought to thank God. Amen. For the thread of hope. That thread of hope will hold the anchor. When a thread holds the anchor, I tell you, the anchor will hold your soul. Faith is an invisible thing, but a powerful force. It may be just a thread of faith, but it'll hold the anchor and hold your soul in the midst of a storm. Amen. The Bible says here they were, they made it to land, all because of the grace and the glory of God. And even on land, the Bible says that Paul, I want you to think about this, Paul was gathering sticks. Here's a man of God trying to help other people. They were cold. They were shivering from the wetness of the sea, the coldness of the storm. Gathering sticks. And the Bible says the people of the island were trying to help them, even though they were some barbarians. And as Paul gathered the sticks, a viper latched on his hand. And Paul shook it off in the fire. I just want to tell somebody, when the enemy comes on you, amen, the best thing to do is shake them off in the fire. Amen. When the enemy wants to hang on you, amen, shake it off. When thoughts come in your mind, amen, that are against God and tell you you're doomed, shake it off. God has given you a promise, saint. Amen. If you let God be God in your life, amen, God will help you through. And the Bible says the people, they stood back waiting and watching for Paul to swell and have convulsions and fall over. For he was a venomous viper. The Bible says that Paul, amen, amazed them because he did not die. The God that Paul served and followed sustained him. It was just a little bit later, four verses later, I think it is, that Paul, the same hand that was snake bit, was laid on the hands of Publius, his father, and he healed him. The next verse, he laid hands on other people. I'm telling you, the work of God will be done. Amen. There was established a church on that island, all because the providence of God in the midst of man's rebellion. When you thought they're just trying to stomp the fire out, God has a plan. God has a way. Amen. Things may fall apart. Things may disintegrate. But God's plan always works in spite of mankind. There were four anchors that were cast out from the verse that we read at the bow or the stern, the back of the ship. Four anchors, they're called drift anchors. They help the ship when they're in a situation in a storm. They would cast these out to try to slow the drag or cause the drag of this drift. To slow it down a little bit. I want to talk to you about four anchors that you need in the midst of your storm. Four anchors, if you could just put in the back of your mind, the back of the stern of your mind, and throw those anchors out in the midst when a storm comes your way. The first thing, Genesis 18:25. Can you put it up there? Genesis 18:25. I want you to see this. You got your Bible, turn to it. Genesis 18:25. The scripture says, that it be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with wicked, that the righteousness should be as the wicked, that it be far from thee. This is the part I want you to see. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? That's the anchor I want to talk to you about. The judge of the righteous shall do right. God's going to do you right. You live right, God's going to do you right. He's not going to forsake the righteous. He's not going to leave the... You know, Abraham is saying, Lord, are you going to destroy Sodom? There's some righteous people there. I have a nephew and his family. And the Lord is speaking, hey, look. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? I'm going to do right for the right. God is going to do right in the midst of your storm. You need that kind of anchor, folks. Amen. I need that anchor of my soul. Amen. To be cast out that my God will do me right. Job and all his trial, he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He did not charge God foolish. Amen. Amen. The judge of all the earth will do you right. Know this. Keep this anchor in your life that God will do you right. Can't explain it. I can't. I can't tell you how. I don't know when. Many times I wish for the day, but I know God's going to do me right because he's the judge of all things. Amen. He's the master, the creator of all things, but he's also one, amen, that will never leave me nor forsake me. He will do me right. Thank the Lord for it today. You know, the Gospels tell us of the story. The disciples getting aboard a ship. The Lord said, get in the ship and go to the other side. They get aboard the ship and they're headed to the other side in the process of doing the will of God. There come, they encounter a big, bad storm. Here's the disciples. They were experienced fishermen who grew up navigating that sea. But this storm was beyond the textbook. It was severe. And let me just say this. But if God tells you to go over, you will not go under. Hear me today. If God tells you to go over, you're not going to go under. Everything that threatens you, amen, may be over your head. But if it's over your head, it's under his feet. I'm glad that Jesus came walking on the water, on the storm that they couldn't ride on. And Jesus said, what's the problem? And he came and Jesus calmed the situation. Time and time again. There's another passage where he stood up, they woke him up and said, don't you care that we perish? And he said, peace, be still. And immediately the wind and the seas did what? Obeyed his voice. I'm glad that, friend, my God has a voice of authority. Amen. But you got to trust, amen, in the judge to do, amen, what's right. Amen. That shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Can't explain it, but I know my God's going to see to it. The second anchor, Psalm 27, 13 through 14. Psalm 27, 13 through 14. The scripture says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 14 says, wait on the Lord. Somebody say, wait. Sometimes we don't like to wait. Wait. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Friend, I want to tell you, even the second anchor, you got to see the goodness of the Lord. And many times the way to do it is by waiting on God. Now, waiting on God doesn't mean I'm just trusting the Lord is going to see me through. I'm going to have the spirit that, amen, even when everybody else is crying, everybody else is going through it, wringing their hands, amen, I'm going to have the assurance, amen, that God's going to take care of me. Amen, I'm going to be that encourager around me and said, hey, my life is this. Amen, I'm trusting in the goodness of the Lord. Amen, I'm going to wait on him. Amen, you got to, the second anchor, you got to see the goodness of God. Amen, even when bad things happen to you, you think, happening in my life. God, why are you doing this to me? All things work together for the good. Goodness of God in operation. Even when you can't see. Amen. The days and you wish for the days. And you've been in a long storm in life and trial. You better throw the anchor out and wait for the goodness of the Lord. Wait to see the goodness of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hebrews says it's an anchor of the soul. Throw it out. Hang on to it. If God says it, you could bank on it. Somebody say amen. Romans 8:28, the third anchor. I jumped ahead of myself, but that's okay. we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. You need to have Romans 8:28 as your third anchor. All things work together for good, regardless in circumstances. But pastor, I'm in financial trouble. I can't pay tithes. Folks, you can only do two things with tithes. You can pay them or steal them. Hear it? You can only do two things with tithes. Pay them or steal them. You think you could rob God? Nope. Amen. Financial trouble? Amen. Just trust God. Amen. There's been financial trouble of people that didn't have money to pay their electric bill, but they gave to God. They paid their tithes, and miraculously, God was able to. All of a sudden, the electrical company says, hold it. We overcharged you last year, and you got a credit on your account. I'm telling you, God is able to do that. He has done that. Amen. You remember in Genesis where Joseph was in Egypt now. He was the one that was over it, over all the operations, and his brothers came, and Joseph used some manipulation, and he said, you know what, I'm going to go get your younger brother. And when they got to their daddy Jacob, all those boys, Jacob says in Genesis 42, he said these words. He said, all things are against me. Here I have a son that was taken away from me named Joseph and killed. Now you want this youngest boy. You want Benjamin, my youngest one, and take him away. All things are come against me. But I want to tell you, amen, when all things seem to be against you, when you live for God, all things are for you. Amen. All things work together for good of them that love him. Amen. And to them who are called according to his purpose. Amen. I want to talk to somebody today. If God be for you, who can be against you? You need that anchor today. Amen. That all things work together for good. Praise God. I think you need to give the Lord a hand of praise for that today. God's in control. You see what the enemy thought for Paul and that crew on board that ship. When the ship began to explode into pieces, Paul knew there's a purpose. When everything comes apart, God has things that he's putting together. Because on that island, God was going to use Paul. When they were cast onto that island as refugees from a broken ship, Paul bit by a viper. But that hand that was bitten, he laid it on those, and God healed. Bring God, has a purpose. The fourth anchor, I love this scripture, John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Let me say this. That word let means to allow. Don't let your heart get troubled. There's a lot of times in the midst of storms, we all of a sudden start getting frustrated. Trouble. Don't open the door for trouble. Anxiety. Quit wringing your hands when God says you're going to get to the other side. Amen. Quit fussing at God. Quit groping and you know, with anxiety. Quit letting things mess with your brain. Amen. Quit taking your nerve pills when God says, hey, I got this storm. Amen. We need to stay with the gospel, not the nerve pill. Somebody say amen. If God says it, hang on. Let not your heart be troubled. When I find this, let not your heart be troubled, it is like, don't let it in the door. There's some things we open the door to in our mind and we start fretting about. I love Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. When God's working in your life, God will use you as his special agent. Praise him. He's able. You're able if you stay stable. Somebody say amen. Paul had a thorn in his flesh. Paul admits it. I had a thorn in my flesh. But he didn't let it get in his spirit. You hear me? He had a thorn in his flesh, but he didn't let that thorn get in his spirit. You may have a problem in life, but don't let it get in your spirit. Don't let the root of bitterness spring up and defile you and defile others. Just because you're going through a storm, let not your heart be troubled. Somebody say amen. Praise God. So when you wish for the day, darkness has come and surrounded you, and it's been a long, big, bad trouble. Storm of life. Dark. You don't know what to do. Number one, use that first anchor. Know that the judge of the righteous shall do you right. Number two, look to see for the goodness of God in it. Number three, know all things work together for your good. Of them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. The fourth thing, let not your heart be troubled. I'm thankful I have a God that's in control. Some people just don't learn. Some people, they are hard learners. They have to go through the hard way for them to get the lesson. Today, I want to be one that just takes God's word for it. Amen. There's some people have to figure it out. They had to put it all in action just to get the message. Friend, I just want to simply obey. Amen. It's kind of like Mark Twain said. It only takes a cat one time on a hot stove to learn the lesson. But then he also says, he also will not get on a cold stove. There's sometimes we think, well, it's cooled down now. I'll try it again and get burned again. I won't be like that cat. You learn the hot stove is hot. Don't even touch a cold stove. Even when the Lord says no, amen, take his word for it. Why do we have to? You ever seen a little sign that says, do not touch wet paint? How many fingerprints gets there? Don't cross this line. How many people cross the boundaries? How many people, when it says, thou shalt not, just are intrigued just to see if they could put their foot over and see what happens? Wet cement. Why is it that humans have that ability just to test and resist the law or the order or the warning? Bridge is out. And there's some people just don't get it. They don't get the message. But God is looking for those that would just take his word and trust him. Hey, God has this. Amen. I want to take the word of God. How about you? Amen. I don't want to have to go try it. I don't want to have to go put it in a test tube and see if it really is real. Amen. Hey, somebody said, well, what? How did God do all this? Amen. I don't know. Amen. Well, how did he make the earth? All this. Hey, friend, all I know, the Bible says he said it and it became. Right. Hallelujah. I can't figure out all the things out, but this is what I know. If he said it, it is good enough and we can take it to the bank. Somebody say amen. Amen. If God hates it, I'm going to hate it. Well, you know, it ain't going to hurt you. It's okay. But if the Bible says it's an abomination, it's still an abomination. Well, that was Old Testament. But if it says it's an abomination, it's still an abomination. If the New Testament didn't release it, amen, it's still an order. The Bible says a man shall not wear that which pertains to a woman. So man, amen, it ain't right for you to wear a dress. I don't care how cute it looks on you. I don't care how it makes you feel so cool and liberty. And oh, you got more liberty and you can run faster. I don't care how much you do more. I don't care all the reasons in the world. If the word of God says, man, thou shalt not wear a dress, or that which pertaineth to a woman, don't wear it. And the other way around. Because he said it's an abomination. But some people got to test it. You're going too far. I'd rather stay with the book. Amen. Your ship's going to explode. Amen. But the God that I have is going to keep me. Hallelujah. Amen. You ought to give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. In Armenia several years, many years ago, in fact now, there was an earthquake. Just that morning, the Armenian man took his little boy to the schoolhouse, a little country schoolhouse. And there at the school, when he, at the door, he said, "Son, I'll be back for you at later, after a while. I'll be back for you. I'll come to get you." And little did he know that that day that there would be a tremendous earthquake. Right behind the schoolhouse was a large hill. And that day when the earthquake hit, that hill just crumbled on top of that schoolhouse and just buried it. Immediately, the community started digging, trying to rescue the kids in that schoolhouse. They continued for hours, hearing no voices underneath. They dug and they dug and they dug with shovels. And finally, some of them gave up, said, "We're just going to have to take a bulldozer." It's covered and considered. They're all of them dead and buried. We dug. We tried everything we could do. But there was something in that daddy, that little boy, that didn't give up. Him and a few other daddies kept on digging. They kept on digging. And finally, while people were just looking at it, everybody else was exhausted. That daddy was digging. And they came to a large slab of concrete that they discovered that was the wall of the school. That when the hill had collapsed, it just pushed the wall down. And when they started digging and thumping on that concrete, they heard a weak, small voice underneath the large slab. And oh, friend, when they heard that, that's all it took. Amen. Everybody jumped in and started digging with hands and shovels, whatever it took. They uncovered the whole school of kids. It was a small school and a teacher. And when they pulled them out from underneath that slab, finally got them back on level ground. The little boy looked at his classmates and his teacher and he said, "See there? I told you, my daddy said he'll be back for me. I want to tell you, I've got a God that's promised he would never leave me nor forsake me. And he said, I'm coming back." Hallelujah. Amen. You ought to lift your hands this morning. Amen. With assurance that God is for us. Amen. He cares for us today. Stand in this building. Amen. This message is for some today in this place. Struggling with simple obedience. Simple obedience in the midst of the storm of confusion in your life. You're at the crossroads of, do I obey the word of God or do I do it my way? Pastor has drawn the line on many different issues of this church for a reason. There's a purpose for it. And there are some that would say, "Oh, it don't matter. It's just Brother Crosswhite." There's a reason for it. Just like the Apostle Paul stood there and said, "Hey, it's good that we don't go right now. Look at all they had to go through. Look at all the loss they had in their life and their profit. The owner of the ship lost everything. Hear me, everything. It didn't take long for him to get out of business. All his goods and profits were now ruined in the bottom of the sea. His ship broken to pieces. All because he thought he knew better." I want to tell you, I want to stay with the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. My God. I don't know who, but I feel for somebody today, this measure of the word. Don't get aboard the ship and lose it all. Even if the end, the Lord has to use it, all the disadvantages to finally get you back. Prodigal had to do his thing, but in the end, we know he was saved. Why go through all the mess in life when you don't have to? The Bible says, lay aside every weight and the sin. A lot of times it's not the sin that weighs us down and imbalances. It's the weights of life. Needless weights. I love to use this illustration. They had a race, and people were lining up to run the race, and there was a man with a pig under his arms. And everybody said, "What do you got a pig for?" He said, "This is my pet pig. I love my pig." They said, "You can't run this race with a pig." He said, "Check the rule books. They don't say I can't." Sure enough, they didn't even try. They knew the rule books didn't say anything about running with a pig. "You know, this man's foolish. He's supposed to run a race with a pig under his arm." Oh, the pig looked gentle until he started running. He started squealing and wiggling. And the heaviness of the pig began to cost the man his place. And the man lost the race all because of a needless pig under his arm. Point is, the rule book may not say some things are a sin, but if they're a weight that will cause you to be in balance or cause you to lose the race, that cause you to lose out with God or lose out with your brother or sister and lose out with God, it's not worth the pig. It's not worth the stink. And it's not worth the effort. I'd rather obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's come and lift our hands around the front for a few moments. Amen. I feel the Lord. Amen. Somebody just needs to evaluate and say yes to the Lord this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Sing such a Christian.
Speak to me. I'll listen. Lead me on.
Would you say yes to the Lord today?
Touch my heart.
Here am I, God.
I will be.
Let me learn from you.
Changed forever. Give me strength to make it. Give me grace to take it. Lord, I'll follow you all along the way. Speak to me. I'll listen.
Make it with liberty and freedom.
I'll listen, lead me on. I'll follow, touch my heart. I will be changed forever. Give me strength to make it. Give me grace to take it. Lord, I'll follow you.
Can he hear your heart? And you said, say yes. Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Final thing this morning, I pray the armor of God every day, pray the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, loins girded with truth, etc. And I always talk about you got to have the helmet, you got to have your helmet, you got to have your helmet. And if you don't stay in the armor will not work for you. Put on the armor that you're able to stand and withstand in that evil day. You got to keep your head in the armor. You got to keep your heart in the breastplate. I got to stay in that belt of truth. I got to keep my feet shod. And I got to stay and utilize that shield behind it. And I better keep the word of the Lord. Amen. With me. Hallelujah. Brother Chad, would you come and dismiss us in prayer today?
Keep us today. Help us to take this to go. And help us today when we leave here, get back here at an appointed time in Jesus' name. Amen.